Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm A.J. Malaragno, President of Cingala Consulting and today's host of Experience Health Radio. I'm joined by our co-host and managing partner, Fran Horner. Good morning, Fran, or good afternoon, Fran. As always, we're excited to share with our audiences our experiences on demand through our website at cingola.com, or you can download them through iTunes.
Our year in review, and I'm excited. This is our third annual year in review. Before we dive into all the topics that we'll bring you in 2016, we want to make sure we take a moment to reflect on what we learned in 2015 from our guests and our clients. So, AJ, I think you'll remember that our first show featured Mary Parlett from Rochester Regional Health. And, you know, it asked the question that seemed to be on the minds of most of the organizations when considering scheduling and patient access. And that question is it time to centralize? You know, last year we worked with Mary and Rochester Regional to create a centralized communication center. And as Mary told us, you know, it made sense for them to create that central contact center since the needs of the patient dictated it. I'd love to see when, you know, voice of the customer, voice of the patient is the driver in organizational decisions. But AJ, you know, are there instances where centralization is not the answer?
Absolutely. We've got a few clients today, and we've had a couple over the last couple of years, where they initially went into a project thinking, we want to centralize. And when you start asking the questions about, well, what exactly do you want to centralize, and when you analyze that and kind of bring it down to what that actually entails, some organizations quickly realize that they just are not ready yet to centralize. And the standardization of the processes is as important, if not more important, than the centralization. When you bring together disparate systems, processes that are disconnected, individual offices that may have their own process within their operations, and you try to bring those together, simply by centralizing just does not necessarily improve processes. So we have worked with organizations where the standardization of processes is really that they need to do in order to set the foundation and then build upon that. We've heard many times that once you standardize and all come to an agreement with this is the way that we are handling referrals, for example, then when you bring that together in a centralized either physical space or even virtually, it makes things a lot easier and the success rate is significantly higher. Rochester implemented their EMR in 2011 and right from the beginning had standardization in place, which made it much easier for them to physically centralize a lot of their initiatives. And don't get me wrong, and Fran, you can attest to this, there definitely were the difficult decisions that had to be made along the way. You still have those hurdles that you have to get over, but their leadership, when implementing their EMR, when they determined to standardized processes, just it really made things a lot easier.
Yeah, you know,
the next
You know, I just wanted to add that I think centralization, though, the benefits of that often are the key drivers, right? Because that economy of scale, something that becomes quickly apparent to us when we're doing an assessment, it's really important. When you think about, you know, the startup costs of ability, the communication platform, everything down to agent utilization. The benefits of centralization in the contact center really are seen when you're able to improve that patient experience. And, you know, I'm one to vote for it, although I keep saying, you know, virtualization and centralization can be the same thing. So we don't want to see anyone scared off by the idea that we have to bring everybody into a single room and, you know, put them one desk next to another. But definitely we've seen some opportunities where centralization and that economy of scale can only be gained by that.
Well put. Our next episode featured Mert Etheri. He is the CEO of SwipeSense, a medical device startup company that looks to eliminate hospital-acquired infections. They actually have a device that is worn by clinical staff as they walk throughout the hospital, and it's got a GPS tracker on it as well. And what they do is prior to walking into the room, they swipe down. It's like when we were all little kids and you get your hands dirty, the first thing you would do is just wipe it on your pants. They took that concept or that idea and rolled it into a medical device where they can put antibacterial gel in those devices. So it's a wearable device, and then also able to track how many times the device is used, where it's used, and then leverage that. So we learned a lot from Mert, and what two of the items that I took away personally was that it really doesn't matter how great the idea or how effective it could be. It needs to be convenient and seamlessly integrated into the routines of staffs in order for it to actually work. And I think a example of that is just the way that the EMRs of today are structured and how they truly need to be integrated into the workflow. The minute you get outside of that workflow for a physician or a nurse or even a front office staff, the process breaks down. And then we start to look for ways around it, and then you start to miss key elements of the procedures that really was intended by the EMR implementation. Mert also thought that mobile health has an advantage, or this actual device, because it more easily integrates into mobile technology because it's such a large part of our daily lives anyway. So he took a issue and really with SwipeSense took a solution and truly integrated into our daily lives. So I think they're still doing quite well, and it was something interesting for us to do outside of our normal communication center and contact center, really to look at what some of the new startups are doing out there within the healthcare industry.
Yeah, AJ, you know, you really hit on these top trends that are really shaping healthcare. And I think in 2016, you're certainly going to hear more of that as we talk about, you know, consumers not only using their smartphones and tablets for health monitoring, but just finding a way to communicate more effectively and navigate healthcare, which has always been, you know, a challenge to patients. So hopefully in a future show, we can talk more about those trends we're seeing in the health industry in 2016. You know, I have to tell you that one of the guests I enjoyed the most, because she's such a good friend and a mentor, is Jane Chalace Dowd, the Director of Learning and Organizational Development at the College of American Pathologists. Jane and I have known each other for quite some time, and she really was instrumental in helping me understand recruitment and training and onboarding, gave me that basis around some of the elements of our Ultimate Agent program. Jane and I spoke specifically, though, about investing in your own. You know, she sees that as the value of employee and development. And she really had some great insights, as, you know, we expect from Jane. At Singola, we always say that the patient should be at the center of every decision made. And I think Jane really drove that home. She made the connection between developing and properly training your employees and providing an excellent patient experience. Those two things are so tied, and without that training, you know, we just haven't given our employees the tools they need to really deliver that experience that the patient's looking for. She said, I think her takeaway was for me, was she said all of our organization should be asking, what are we doing to make sure our greatest asset, our employees, perform at their best? And, you know, we often say that employees are our greatest assets, but I don't know that that's more talk. And so I want to be sure that as we work through the Ultimate Agent Program, as we look at organizational development and employee development, that we really put those employees at the center of what we're doing when we're looking at employee engagement strategies and tools to help them be more productive and just enjoy their jobs more.
Yeah, you know, I've known Jane as well a very long time, Fran, and she has weathered some incredible storms that were sent her way in the beginning stages of implementing the electronic medical record. Her passion of creating training programs. I remember when she first laid out the intense curriculum that was going to be required for physicians and nurses back when we were working together. And she was looked at as, you know, quite frankly, just way over the top. This is too much. We don't need all of this. And she just kept at it. And when it was all done, what she created back when she was at North Shore, in her curriculum and in the importance around training and investing in the employees, is now adopted or has been adopted with every major implementation across healthcare. And I think she's always been a leader of that, and her passion for employees definitely came out in that conversation. And I remember a quote of a CFO asking a CEO, you know, what happens if we invest in our employees and they leave? And the CEO says, well, what happens if we don't invest and they stay? And I think that's very telling in that the importance of the training and the correct protocols and procedures that individuals should follow for their role is absolutely, in our experience, it's been imperative to the success of any kind of process reengineering and patients and employee satisfaction.
Yeah, Jane's always been inspirational, and you know, I'm glad that we both know her because she is quite a remarkable woman. And I think you're right; she is a little ahead of her time at times, but we were all able to catch up. Yeah.
Our last episode of the year had a very timely topic around population health and the patient experience. Fran, you had a great discussion with Susan Marks about this, formerly of Amonti Health. You two jointly published a white paper in the Barrow Institute Patient Technology this past year. Tell me, how do population health, contact centers, and the patient experience all interact? Because when we go into an organization, usually those three areas are quite separate. They're managed separately. However, you hear rumblings about how they should start to interact.
You couldn't be more right, AJ. You know, we find that every time we enter an organization, and that was exactly the problem as Susan and I saw it. I mean, we really think that healthcare is missing out on an opportunity to capitalize on resources it already has in the contact center in order to help implement a population health strategy. And, you know, when we can see the forest for the trees, but you know, population health is your arms around. Even identifying it and having the definitions as we move from healthcare organizations to healthcare organizations, they can be very different. So I think first you have to come up and decide really what does, you know, population health mean to you? And then you can really understand about how it's focusing on the entire population as a whole instead of giving that care kind of ad hoc to individual patients. That's really how we defined it. And we saw it. But most strategies also focus on keeping costs down for the organization. And I think Susan pointed this out pretty well. She said they should also include a directive to improve the patient experience. So not just focusing on, you know, making the patient responsible for their care, pushing the costs down, finding alternative ways, which quite frankly I think are great, but may not meet all of the different patient requirements. But more importantly, we saw that the contact center can serve as a hub to implement a successful population health strategy. And it can do that by managing the ways that the healthcare system interacts with patients. You know, both those patients who are reaching in and those who you may need to reach out to for help. And for example, you know, the contact center has the ability to reach at-risk patients, you know, generating calls. There's great technology that can send those calls out. They can help monitor their health, but more importantly, reach out so that they know there's access to that help, because those patients need to understand that we're part of their healthcare partners. Those text messages that provide daily reminders to take their medicine, or asking diabetic patients to, you know, provide readings of their blood sugar levels. All of these things, you know, speak about partnerships and taking care of health. And, you know, Susan and I agreed that implementing a single complete touch strategy, you know, one that's centered on the contact center, it would definitely save patients time and energy, and we think support improving the health of the population.
Fran, when you triggered something for me on the use of technology and then how it's truly integrated, it's really when you start seeing those results. You know, we come across situations where they've implemented technology, but they haven't really worked in their process that was either re-engineered or should be re-engineered. Things like they've contracted, or maybe they have their own system in place where they are reaching out to patients to remind them of their appointment, for example, or remind them to take some kind of medication. And where they fall off is in the appointment scenario. It's great, you reminded me that I have my appointment, or I can select to cancel the appointment, but where it misses is, why don't you give me an option to schedule that appointment? Because you've worked that, or reschedule that appointment, because you've worked that now into your processes within the organization, but you haven't extended that out to your technology infrastructure or your technology setup. Is that something that you see is more common, or are these one-offs?
Well, I think there's two things that I'm seeing. I think the first thing is that we're trying to fix the problem without really understanding what we need to do. And, you know, planning is always that piece that's the toughest. But there is absolutely a need for the organization to define their patient engagement strategy. You know, getting those common goals that the physicians and hospitals share around improving patient outcomes and reducing hospital readmission, all of those things are really the overall arching drivers to help manage population health and to address chronic disease. And, you know, we've talked before about some of the best models of patient engagement. We've talked about the National eHealth Collaborative. But again, I would always say that first piece needs to happen. You know, what are the five stages of, you know, being able to really engage the patient so that they know that care is available, they're accessing it, but more importantly, we're teaching them. I think then there becomes these technical enhancements that really help support that entire engagement. Being able to leverage things like outbound dialing, appointment reminders, even speech analytics, those are all technologies that are available in a contact center that can help support reaching out to those patients.
Good. Well, thanks, Fran, for that insight. And I think it's been an amazing year for us, and hopefully it's been an amazing year for a lot of the clients that we have been working with and continue to work with. What are some of the things that maybe we can give a preview of to our audience of what to expect in 2016?
Yeah, sure. You know, in 2016, I think we really want to pass on the lessons that we've learned, you know, as we're out at each of the locations in the field. And what types of opportunities we see time and time again, you know, overall in healthcare, whether it's creating a big picture patient access and intake strategy or improving employee retention. You know, we've worked on effective key performance indicators and standardization of organizational brand guidelines that would really help almost any organization. So, you know, AJ, I think it's going to be a great year.
I agree. I think that, you know, I would say, you know, we've had many great accomplishments this year. One of the biggest, I would have to say, is, you know, working with Children's Health Medical Center. And it has, you know, really emotionally moved me personally in a way that I've been in healthcare now for 16 years. And when you are on campus there and you see the patients coming in and truly witness the situations that some of them may be in, you can't help but think we have got to make this easier for patients and families and caregivers to do business with us. And we say us because when we work with a client, we truly are an extension of them. And I think that all of our clients have just adopted that, and I think it makes working and doing what we do a lot of fun.
It sure does.
So anything else, Fran, before we wrap?
No, but I do want to also take this opportunity to not only thank you, you know, you're just inspirational as well as the team that we have that really supports all of the work that we're able to do out at each of the healthcare organizations. And, you know, for that, I thank everyone. Thank you so much for the support that you've given. And even our business advisors, all of that makes us better as a consulting company that's able to really engage our clients and help them to their fullest as well.
All right. So this will conclude our show for today, and tune in next week to hear about our first topic, creating a patient access and intake strategy, really the foundation of everything and what every organization should focus on, first and foremost. And as always, please visit our website, singolaconsulting.com, for more information, to check out our blog or tweet at us at singolaconsult, if you'd like to continue the conversation. Talk to everyone next week, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at singolaconsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always be at the center of every decision you make.